Welcome back to Prosperity on the Horizon, the podcast that transforms businesses through the power of numbers. If you are listening to this podcast, chances are you are already on your way to exploring your numbers with a desire to understand and master your business finances, realizing the transformative power that numbers hold for your business success. I'm your host, Juliana, your financial storyteller and strategic bookkeeper here at Horizon HQ, and my job is to help busy business owners and entrepreneurs just like you understand your numbers and the story behind them. Knowing your numbers not only helps you understand where your business is at or how your business is performing, but it also helps you make informed decisions, enabling you to maximize your profit, cash, and time. Because true wealth isn't only about having money in the bank, but it's also about having time and freedom to live your dream life on your terms. Let me take you on a journey of deep diving into the heart of your business's financial health. So stay tuned. By the way, if your desire is to become time rich with your numbers in your pocket, make sure you subscribe to our Prosperity Playbook Bulletin to get notified when a new podcast episode is released. And of course, you will get a lot more value out of it. And if you would like to help us prosper, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you listen to your pods. It will mean the world to me. And there is just one more thing before we start. If you would like to find out how to avoid the biggest cash flow mistakes that we discussed in our first podcast series, you can download our free ebook about the 7 deadly cash flow sins right now. I'll leave all the links in the show notes for you. This is episode number 17, how to make sure that your freelancer doesn't have a hidden price tag. The topic I'm going to talk about today arises more frequently these days among my clients, so I thought it deserves a podcast episode because it might help more people. It's about independent contractors, freelancers, and whether they are indeed independent contractors, or in which circumstances do they fall under the so-called deemed employee category, and what does that mean for a business? This whole episode is going to be about debunking the myths around this topic, so the structure of the episode is a little bit different. Let's dive into it. So why is it important that we address this issue? Can't I just hire anyone with an ABN as a contractor because I don't want to deal with all the obligations that come with employing people? As you may have guessed, it's not at all that simple, and the ATO are watching. So firstly, what are the differences between an employee and a contractor? But even before that, is there a difference between a freelancer, a consultant, or an independent contractor at all? Well, the short answer is no, there isn't. In Australia, an independent contractor or a consultant is basically a freelancer. In general, a freelancer is a person who is self-employed and is not committed to work for one employer only. They work for various businesses, organizations, and may undertake particular assignments for a fixed period. They deliver an output or product. They might be working for multiple clients at the same time for short periods and have specific experience, but not necessarily professional qualifications. Whereas independent contractors typically work to deliver a service or complete a task, usually for one client at a time, perhaps for an extended period, and they have professional qualifications. Consultants typically work to deliver expert advice for one or more clients at a time for an extended period and have professional qualifications and specific experience. But back to the differences between an employee and a contractor. In general, an employee works in someone else's business. The employer controls how, where, and when they do the work, and the employer pays them a wage. Whereas independent contractors work for themselves and are their own boss. It still sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? So where is the catch? Let's debunk some myths and look at the facts in no specific order, just as they came to mind. Let's start with myth number one. People who do short-term work are automatically contractors. The fact is, hiring someone for a few hours or a couple of days at a time doesn't necessarily mean that they are automatically a contractor. You can hire both employees and contractors for casual, temporary, on-call, or infrequent work during busy periods or for short jobs, specific tasks, and projects. Myth number two. People with an ABN are always contractors. Well, the fact is that having an ABN is not the deciding factor of whether or not someone is a contractor. There are a lot of other factors to be considered. Myth number three, if someone provides an invoice for their work, it means that they are a contractor. Well, the fact is, just because a person submits an invoice, it doesn't necessarily mean that they classify as a contractor. Again, you need to consider multiple factors. Myth number four. Everyone in my industry takes on workers as contractors, so my business should do too. The fact is, just because other businesses treat workers as contractors, it doesn't mean that they have got it right. Ignore common industry practice when determining whether your worker is an employee or a contractor. Myth number five, employees can be used for short jobs or to get extra work done during busy periods. We've already touched on this, but let's look at it again. The fact is that the length of a job or the regularity, I managed to say it, of work makes no difference to whether a worker is an employee or a contractor. As I've said it before, both employees and contractors can be hired for casual, temporary, on-call or infrequent work during busy periods of short jobs, specific tasks and projects. Myth number six. A worker cannot work more than 80% of their time for one business if they want to be considered a contractor. Well, the fact is that the 80% rule, or the 80-20 rule as it is sometimes called, relates to personal services income, PSI, which may be familiar if you do your own tax return, and it can change how a contractor reports their income on their income tax return, and how a contractor claims some business-like deductions. It's not a factor a business considers when they work out whether a worker is an employee or a contractor. The next myth is myth number seven. My business has always used contractors, so we don't need to check whether new workers are employees or contractors. Well, the fact is, before hiring a new worker, you should always check whether the worker is an employee or a contractor by examining the working arrangement. Also, make sure that you have a contractor agreement in place, which details the terms and conditions, including the outputs or outcomes required, project timing, and terms of payment. Also, clarifying the expectation between the business owner and the service provider, and protecting the ownership of the completed work and any confidential information that is shared with the service provider, and many other things. Hiring workers without checking the working arrangement could mean that the business is incorrectly treating their workers as contractors when they are actually employees. Myth number eight, if a worker has a registered business name, they are a contractor. Well, the fact is, having a registered business name makes no difference to whether a worker is an employee or a contractor. The next one is myth number nine. If a worker is a contractor for one job, they will be a contractor for all the jobs. Again, this is similar to what we've just discussed. The fact is that the working arrangement and specific terms and conditions will determine whether a worker is an employee or a contractor for each job. A worker could be an employee for one job and a contractor for the next job. Myth number 10. My business should only take on contractors, so we don't have to worry about superannuation. Oops, that decision. And also the fact is that businesses may be required to pay super for their contractors anyway. If you pay an individual contractor under a contract that is entirely or principally for the person's labor, you have to pay super contributions for them. There are also industry-specific guidelines and requirements, so it's worth doing some research on this. Myth number 11, workers who are used for their specialist skills or qualifications should be engaged as contractors. The fact is, if a business takes on a worker for their specialist skills or qualifications, it doesn't automatically mean that they are a contractor. A worker with specialist skills or qualifications can be either an employee or a contractor, depending on the terms and conditions under which the work is done. Myth number 12. My worker wants to be a contractor, so my business should treat them as one. It doesn't work like that. The fact is that just because a worker has a preference to work as a contractor, it doesn't mean that your business can engage them as a contractor. Whether a worker is an employee or a contractor is not a matter of choice, but depends entirely on the working arrangement and the specific terms and conditions. If you give in and agree to treat an employee as a contractor, you can face penalties and charges for not meeting your tax and super obligations. Myth number 13. If a worker submits an invoice for their work, they are a contractor. Again, the fact is, submitting an invoice for work done or being paid on invoice doesn't make a worker a contractor. To know whether a worker is an employee or a contractor, you need to look at the whole working arrangement and examine the specific terms and conditions. And finally, myth number 14. If a worker's contract has a section that says they are a contractor, then legally they are a contractor. Well, this is not that simple either. The fact is that if a worker is legally an employee, contract saying that the worker is a contractor will not make the worker a contractor by law. Businesses and workers will sometimes include specific words in a written contract to say that the working arrangement is contracting in the mistaken belief that this will make the worker a contractor by law. But you have to be careful and make sure that you do your research before you enter into a contract. If a worker is legally an employee, a contract specifying that the worker is a contractor makes no difference and will not override the employment relationship or change the worker into a contractor. And also, it won't change the PAYG withholding and super obligations a business is required to meet. There are many other factors to be considered before you can make a decision on whether a person you are to hire is indeed a contractor or might be deemed as an employee. You need to look at things like, is the worker able to subcontract or delegate the work? What forms the basis of payment? Who is responsible for providing the equipment and tools required for the work? Who has control over the work? Who bears the risks? Does the worker represent or perform work for your business? Or does the worker have their own business and provide services to you? The ATO has a comprehensive guide, but you can also reach out to us for more information and guidance on this topic. I hope that this was helpful and we managed to debunk some common myths surrounding the classification of independent contractors. Whether you are hiring for short-term projects or long-term engagements, understanding the nuances of contractor classification is crucial for prosperity and peace of mind in your business endeavors. So this is a wrap for now. Thank you so much for staying with me. If you like this episode or if you think it would be useful for someone else, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your pods. And if you have any questions, DM me on Instagram at Horizon Accounts. Your business deserves financial wisdom, and my aim is to empower you to make informed decisions. I can't wait to guide you through transformational strategies that will help you do better in business so that you can enjoy a prosperous life you desire. This is Prosperity on the Horizon, where your success story begins with numbers. Remember, your numbers tell the tale of your profit, cash, and time freedom. Until next time.